My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, Jeff, your thoughts on last night's game? Because I tell you, I was into it. I was excited. I watched a little bit. I watched the first half, and then I had to hop in the car, go back home last night, and then started watching third quarter. I was like, oh, this is good. And the next thing I know, I've got a tropical storm hitting me in the arm to tell me, make me watch this last touchdown. You got to see this, Dad. You got to see this. I was like, what? And then all of a sudden, I got to watch the last play. So I was excited about that.
That's great.
So there's something magical about the couch at our house that makes me just go, puts me to sleep.
And I like the chair you sit in here at work.
That is true. Or the chair I'm listening to from across the microphone from me. Both are just mesmerizing when you're trying to catch a cat nap.
It's going to be this kind of a day, isn't it?
Oh, it totally is. Yeah. It's a Friday. It's a no rules Friday. So, okay. And it's approved by the poobah. He likes when we do no rules.
Yeah.
So we just go off the rails all day.
He loves things all
over. What'd you get out of last night's game? There are a couple points from the game that I
thought
was like,
two things. I thought the game had a ton of energy.
Yeah.
I thought both teams played with a lot of energy. I don't think they played terribly well. I didn't think it was a great game, but man, they both came out of the chute really coming at us, and I thought that was kind of cool. And it was a weird dynamic for me because though there was a ton of energy, I didn't think it was the greatest game. It was a great finish, and it stayed close. I wasn't enamored with the game overall, but I thought there were some really good things. Does that make any sense?
No, I thought the same thing. Like, first of all, it was, you know, it had some NFL glitz to it because it was the first game of the season and you want to watch Kansas City. And, you know, I'm hoping that, like, I'm sitting there going, oh man, I hope the Ravens lose this. I hope that, because that's how, I mean, I know it's the first game of the season, but you know what? At the end of the year, it could come back to the Browns being a game ahead of the Ravens because they lost to Kansas City in the beginning of the season because they lost that one game. Again, I know you laugh because I think the Browns front office said it at one point, but they really are 17 special games every time you get to play. And when you've got opponents that you've got to go up against, you need them to lose. So thank you, Kansas City. I was rooting for them the whole way. Not like I wouldn't be anyways because of Travis Kelce. So, but I'm
going to have a hard time this year.
Rooting for or what?
You know, the only team in all of sports that I truly dislike is the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
One of my favorite players in the NFL is Derrick Henry.
Mm.
That's going to be tough for me.
You guys are going to have to break up for a year.
I know. That's going to be tough for me. My despise of the Ravens overrides my like of Derrick Henry. But still, I root for that guy. I love the old school style that he runs with. So that's going to be tough.
All right, let's kind of take this backwards. It would have been fun to see this game go into overtime, right? What if you would have been inbounds? If you were the Ravens, would you have gone for two? Or would you have just kicked
They were
him?
Going for two. Harbaugh is given the two sign.
Yeah, would you have?
You have a chance to win a game on the road at the buzzer. I probably would have gone for two. And I probably would have given it to Derrick Henry. You know, I'd have run some kind of run pass. I'd have run Lamar Jackson in an option. You know, I'm sure they've got, with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, you can be sure they have a two-point play where he's just running, like, you know, complete option.
I thought the same thing, but I also thought back, I think it was in the first quarter, maybe it was the second quarter, where Baltimore had a chance on, I think they went for it on fourth down and three, and kind of in the middle of the field. It was in the middle of the field, and Kansas City came up with a big play as they tried to push the ball around the outside, and it didn't work. And I was like, are they really going for two here if they score? Because it didn't work earlier
what
on that fourth down play. I'll be honest with you, I
would have
gone for two. I like coaches that do that. I just think it says a lot about your offense. It's what you're telling your guys that I believe in you. And I think the long-term ramifications of doing that in that situation where you have the opportunity to win on the road, especially, you do it, man. Just you didn't come there for overtime. You came there to win the game in regulation, and get her done. And if you believe in your offense, if I have Lamar Jackson on my team, I believe my team can score on a two-point conversion every time. Every time, especially in that pressure situation. Those are the moments of becoming a GOAT, but we didn't get to that point. When you initially saw the pass, did you think he was inbounds or out of bounds?
I thought he was in. And I thought he was in because the official was right there.
Yeah, when he put his arms up, I was like, okay.
It looked really tight, though. I just thought, okay, well, he's right there. He had to get it right. Nope.
Dude
was even wearing black shoes on the white line.
Yeah, if you're NBC, you can't ask for anything better than that, right?
It was phenomenal. And boy, did they have a great camera angle on
That's
it.
A play at the plate on a game-winning run.
Yeah.
The same thing. I can't imagine a producer or writer scripting up anything better for the first week of the season for the end of it. So, so I look at all those things. I'm very happy Kansas City won. 27-20 was the final. Good for the Browns. Good for the rest of the AFC North, I guess, if you're a fan on the other side of the lines over there or down where they're northern Kentucky over there. But to watch Kansas City go on and win last night, I was pretty happy with that. Just a couple little things from the game, too, Jeff, that I thought were interesting. 11 kickoffs and only two returns. I was so sold on this dynamic kickoff, and it just has not lived up to that.
Yeah, it's a waste. They're trying to do something, and teams are just, we're not going to do that.
There's no way they're going to change that, right? They're not going to change that rule in the middle of the season.
I don't know how you can. Even if you tack on another 5 yards, I don't know how you can. I mean, they can do anything they want. You know, they're the NFL. They could decide, like, if nobody returns a kick in the first week, now it looks even sillier.
It does. It looks ridiculous.
Because now you've got all these guys down there like, okay, we're going to do something here. No, we're not.
Looks pretty, though.
We're just going to boom it out.
When you watch the kickoff, you see the way they're lined up offside, and you're like, all right, this is different. This is
special.
It's going to
be cool.
This is great. Oh, man, I just want to see somebody run this thing out and take a chance.
Oh, that didn't work.
And even when somebody tries to run it out, they only tend to get between the 20 and 25 anyway.
Well, in preseason.
Yeah. I mean, we had 11 kickoffs last night. I know. This to me is becoming the biggest dud of the year.
So far,
we'll
give it time.
I think on Monday we'll have a real good feel about what teams are doing on these kickoffs and if they're a waste of time. Maybe there's just a chance that the coaches aren't comfortable with it at all, and they're like, just give it to them on the 30.
They're afraid of it?
Yeah, they're afraid of it.
Yeah.
One coach isn't going to be, and something's going to change.
That might be true.
It's just going to take one coach.
Well, we keep waiting for the creativity on that play.
There isn't
it. And we don't see it.
None, not at all.
How'd you like all the illegal formation calls?
That was the other thing I was going to say. I think it's going to stymie the game. And if offensive linemen can't have that little bit of a push to get back to protect their quarterback, I can't see them calling that all year.
Well, the offensive line is supposed to be a line. It's not supposed to be like a
horseshoe?
A Canada goose formation flying in the air in a big V.
It's pretty amazing how they do that, the natural instinct.
I don't know how they do that.
I don't know how they do it either. It's pretty cool.
You know, geometrically spaced perfectly.
Yeah, I don't know how they – how does that happen?
I don't know.
It is weird.
But I get it.
They're not really drafting either.
You don't want the offensive tackles lined up a whole yard and a half off the line of scrimmage. I get that, except for one thing. You want to try and block Myles Garrett without doing that? You want to try and block Micah Parsons? We're going to see that call on display on Sunday, Andy.
I mean, how often do you see that the linemen have that step right as the ball snapped? You know what I'm saying? That step, because obviously they know when the snap is.
Yeah.
So they take it that step backwards quickly, and now all of a sudden we're going to start calling that?
As Dan said on our little conference chat this morning, in between us cracking jokes, it's going to take one or two quarterbacks getting hurt. All of a sudden, they're going to forget that call.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Dan is right. Yep. You can mark Dan's that if right you want too. To. Hang on. Oh, we both said it?
Dan is right.
Ugh.
At least I gave him credit for it on the call.
That is true. This is going to be a wacky Friday. We agree on this. We agreed on something. And
yeah. And David Bell's looking for a job.
Ugh. Why do you have to bring that up? Are we going to make me talk about that in the next segment?
Yeah.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yes.
All right, kids. Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Jamari Thrash. I've just given you the five wide receivers.
That's five.
And unfortunately, the sixth wide receiver is no longer there. That was David Bell. I thought David would be on this team for a long time. You know, they let Jarvis Landry leave. And I thought, well, who would be the perfect replacement? And then I saw this young go-getter from Purdue University.
David Bell, sir.
I said, look, this is the perfect complement to Jarvis Landry, who's no longer with the team anymore.
Which big drum, I was kinda, big receiver.
Which I was kind of bummed. Yeah, that is true. Big drum. Yes, well done. And then I turned, said, here it is. This is the time. This is the place. This is the moment. And that moment never really happened. And so now, as I saw with the text, as Daryl Ryder was trolling me as fast as he could, 40 seconds before
he sent it to me, and I said, hey, that's Baskin's guy.
Oh, why? Do you think it's your guy?
I think so.
Oh. You know, you do a podcast with a guy you think he'd know you a little bit?
He doesn't listen.
He must not.
He doesn't listen.
Your collective unit.
So, David Bell released yesterday, and just want us all to realize what could have been for David Bell. I
think he's back, though. I think he'll be back.
They'll get him back through the...
Either that or Andy, or he'll be picked up by another team and put on their roster. If he goes on a practice squad, it'll be the Browns.
Unless they decide you have to assume. Here's what I was thinking yesterday, okay? Yeah. I'm like, man, they cut him on a Thursday before the game week. They just went through all the roster cuts. Why did they wait? Why'd they wait so long to do this? And then I was like, well, either they're trying to sneak up an extra offensive lineman that they might need. There's a part of me that thought maybe they're trying to bring up another tight end. If that was what they wanted to do. I hope nothing crazy happened where he made somebody mad or his agent called up and said, hey, you need to trade my guy or you need to let my guy go. And so I started thinking of all the possibilities. If he does work his way back out of the practice squad, then that last line, you can forget about that. And that's what I kind of hope it is. But it's almost this whole notion of, you know, these third-round picks the Browns just keep struggling with. Keep hanging on to the third-round pick. I don't know
why it
is.
It's odd.
It's bizarre.
Andrew Berry has made 9 third-round picks. 9 third-round picks. 5 of them are no longer on this team. Isn't that weird? And it's not going back that far.
No.
He's only had 5 drafts.
Cedric Tillman's still here.
Zach Zinter, Cedric Tillman, Martin Emerson, and Alex Wright are the 4 that are still here. Gone, who AB took in the 3rd round. I call him AB because I call you AB.
Oh, that's cool. Aaron Boone also says you can call him AB.
Siaki Ika.
Mm-hmm.
Now David Bell, for now. Anthony Schwartz, Jordan Elliott, Jacob Phillips. Gone.
I just don't get it. It's a chance. Yeah. I'm just looking at, you know, what they've been able. You know, I'd look at all the first round picks this team has had, but we haven't had some in quite some time.
Last year,
Myles Garrett in the NFL. Was that 1999 they drafted Myles Garrett in the first round, first overall?
Do not know.
Okay. Or 17.
Last year in the NFL, 15% of starters were taken in the 3rd round.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's a good stat.
Across the entire league. It's according to Yahoo.
How do you feel about this wide receiving core now that they're only carrying 5 wide receivers? Does that matter to anybody?
Andy,
you have 5 wide receivers right now.
In all seriousness, not to make you mad, and I feel bad for David. I don't want to see anybody.
I do too. I'd like to see him.
He was the 6th. He was the 6th guy.
Oh, I knew that. I knew that.
I know you knew that.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because Jamari Thrash, there's some excitement to his game. He's got some pizzazz, man. I think if they get him the ball.
Well, you know what he does? He makes plays, at least in the preseason. Let's put the asterisk right there, okay? In the preseason, he looked pretty good. And I mentioned scouting reports on him coming out, and I thought it was really interesting because a couple of them said the same thing. Said, well, he's not really fast. He doesn't run the greatest routes. He's not overly athletic. You know what he does? He makes plays and produces. And I thought, well, that's ultimately what you want, isn't it? It's like, for instance, Jerry Rice was not the fastest wide receiver.
But he could catch a BB off the ground with his teeth.
Catch a brick. He made plays. Right. And in game speed, you weren't going to catch him.
Did I ever tell you my Jerry Rice story? Do you want to hear this real quick? No, it's not. You brought Jerry Rice up.
Well, I brought him up.
What a great receiver he was. I know.
Okay.
I know. Do you want the story or not?
I sure do.
Anyway, real quick, I was interviewing for a job in Columbus, Mississippi, right? And they all know I'm down there. So I'm going to talk to the owner of the station. And I walk up and we start talking sports. And he turns to me and we're talking about great wide receivers. And he goes, Jerry Rice, I got to catch a BB on Garland's tee. And I was like, what? And he had that kind of accent, right? And I was like, excuse me?
A southern accent with a staccato delivery.
Yes.
Oh, that's
like
tough.
Louisiana.
That's a tough combination.
It was like, that guy, catch a BB on Garland's tee. And I'm like, what? And so I asked him like 5 times to repeat it. He said, that guy could catch a BB off the ground with his teeth.
Yeah, you weren't getting that job.
No. So everything was good. I go back down and I go to talk to the other sports guy. And he's like, hey, how'd it go? I go, I was great. He goes, well, you know, how was it? And I go, well, it was good. It was good. We had a great conversation. We talked about Jerry Rice. And he said, oh, you didn't ask him to repeat himself at all, did you? I was like, uh-oh. I asked him like 5 times. I could not understand a word he was saying. I could not understand a word.
Just like the coach in Waterboy.
It was, yeah, it was pretty close. But then I've got a friend who's from Louisiana here. I said it
you
to him exactly. This is amazing.
He understood.
I've got a friend of mine who coaches football at Bedford. He coaches track around town too. And I did it to him. I said the same exact line to him, the exact same way I said it to everybody else. And he said, oh, that guy could catch a ball, a BB off the, and I was like, how did you understand? I couldn't even understand what I was saying. Okay, that's my Jerry Rice story. I just wanted to share that with you.
Okay.
Very exciting.
A little bit of news. Dolphins all-pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey have agreed to a three-year, $72.3 million extension. He is the highest-paid corner in football again.
Oh, well, there you go.
Jalen Ramsey with a contract extension for a good old chunk of money.
Good to be able to.
$4.1 million per year.
Really good to be able to chase other people around a football field.
Per multiple reports.
Pays well. Good for him.
Why do we even mess with these caps? Why do
cap
they
schmap.
I don't get it. Like, guys are getting paid left and right.
Browns have no cap space. Let's convert Deshaun's into a signing bonus. Hey, Browns have cap space.
Like, every time we turn around, somebody's getting top five money without having to be called a franchise player. We talk about, oh, they're going to be hamstring down the road. Oh, look at New Orleans. They're going to look like New Orleans down the road. I don't get it. Like, we sit here and we constantly, like, well, how do they have the money to do that? Where they go look at San Francisco's roster. Look how many guys are top five paid. And go, how are they getting around the cap? I don't understand this. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But you know why? Because the NFL does feel like it's a level playing field. The teams can figure out a way to get a guy if they really want a guy and stay competitive and be a good team. So I don't know. I'm so used to us being a bad team since the team came back in 99 that I'm enjoying the fact that they can run with the big dogs now.
Do the Browns have a problem with and I'm serious, with scouting when it comes to third round picks? I mean, that's not a good percentage.
I think it just happened that way. I don't think it's
there's nothing there.
I don't think they sit around after the second round. They're like, "Hey, man, who's got champagne and cigars? Yeah, I'm too drunk to make a pick here in the third round. I don't think they're doing that.
They nailed one. Martin Emerson is a terrific player. I think they've nailed another one. I think Alex Wright could become a really good player, and we hope that for Zach Zinter and Cedric Tillman. But Siaki Ika couldn't see the light of day. David Bell hasn't produced here. Maybe he will. Anthony Schwartz was a complete bust, sorry to say. They decided not to keep Jordan Elliott. Decided not to keep Jacob Phillips.
I just think it's a weird...
It was one of those things.
If it was a fourth rounder, would it bother you? What if they had trouble with fourth rounders?
I don't know. Third round is... I mean, if you're a third round pick, that's... You got to figure you got a pretty good chance of having a decent NFL career if you're a third round pick. No guarantee, but
You know what's interesting? There's plenty of fifth round picks on this team too. Jamari Thrash, Nick Harris is a fifth rounder.
But you know,
Dorian Thompson Robinson's a fifth rounder.
And they gave up Tony on Nick. But they gave up on Nick Harris.
Well, they brought him back though.
Yeah, well, you know why? Out of necessity.
Okay, well, sometimes that stuff happens.
I know.
Cameron Mitchell's a fifth round. I mean, it's weird. They hit on fifths and struggle on thirds. And we don't have enough first to kind of...
I truly don't think that there's anything to the third round thing. I just think it's a really odd coincidence that they've not hit on most of their third round picks. And most by, you know, 5 out of 9.
I'm starting to look at even first round picks, even when we did have them, and how the impact... I mean, Denzel's impact
first
is...
First round pick. Well, that goes before Andrew Berry. I'm just looking
right.
at AB.
But still, for the first rounders
guy,
that have stuck around, obviously Denzel Ward, Miles is one. Denzel's got to be two, right? Njoku, number three. I'm just looking at the first round picks that we have that are still, and then Jed would be four as far as success rate. I mean, they're all starting. Oh, Greg Newsom's in there too. I forgot to put him in there. Just looking at the success rate of their first rounders, it's just so weird. That third round curse is just, let's see what they do next year. How's that sound? Fair?
Okay.
Are you still confident though? Let me go back to this wide receiving core because now you're going into game one with five wide receivers. Does it make a difference if David Bell's name's there or not? Andy, does it make a difference if they have a sixth wide receiver or not?
Who do you know who's been screaming for them to add another good wide receiver?
You for years.
Yeah, and I've still been screaming it. I think the wide receiving core is a little light. What I think needs to happen is at least Jerry Jeudy. And then one other guy come along and really step up. I think Cedric Tillman could be terrific. He's a third-round pick. I like Cedric a lot. I'm hopeful that Elijah Moore can find it. because he's kind of the forgotten guy here. But Judy better play, because as we talked about yesterday when we were looking at the offense, I mean, they're paying him like a top 20 wide receiver, and he's not really performed like that in his career so far. He's got to start performing like that. I think Cedric Tillman could be really good. I do. My fingers are crossed. Big-bodied wide receiver who can go deep. I like that a lot. And keep in mind, Elijah Moore and Amari Cooper are free agents at the end of the year, and they clearly have chosen not to pay Amari. If they didn't give Amari a long-term contract after last year in this offseason, why would they do it when he's a year older?
I don't think so. I think you're right. I think they're moving on. Unless he would have to do something like...
He's not getting a long-term. They might bring him back for another year.
Maybe two.
With an option, yeah. But if I'm Amari, I'm going to go look for a deal somewhere else where I can get guaranteed money.
What did we say this week? They're the eighth oldest team in the NFL right now?
Fourth.
They're the fourth.
Yeah.
Which is weird. They have eight guys over 30 on the roster.
Which is weird.
Three are special teamers. I don't know. Maybe they're trending the other way. Maybe they're willing to hang on to guys that are a little bit older to keep the roster. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the future. And if they change that, what's the name of it? I forgot. Remember there was a sheet that said these are our cornerstones of building.
Guardrails,
yeah. They're guardrails of becoming great. And, one of the guardrails was the 30-year-old bar that if you were over it, you were going to be in trouble.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.